Hello, District 38, and welcome back to what we are calling the season two premiere of our District 38 podcast, The Megaphone. We are moving fearlessly forward into a new Toastmasters program year, which started on July 1st. Oh, wait, who am I? Well, I'm Chris Hulse, and I am the immediate past district director and your host for today's episode, the first of our new program year. And I'm really excited about the guests who we have here today. It is the new district trio, and they started in their new roles on July 1st. And I thought, what a better time to sit down and get to know them, not just as Toastmasters or leaders, but as people. We have Michelle Westgate, District 38 Director, Ann Golden, Program Quality Director, and Michelle Brown, Club Growth Director, with us. So, first, we're going to get to know a little more about one of the Michelles on this year's trio. If you didn't notice, there are two Michelles, a very common name for District 38 leaders, I guess. But this is Michelle Westgate. She is the new district director and also a distinguished Toastmaster. How are you today, Michelle?
I'm great, Chris. Thanks for inviting me to speak with you today.
Certainly. So, for each of you, I actually have a mixture of some Toastmasters questions and some getting to know you questions. And I want to give some context before I actually ask Michelle Westgate her first question. She has had a steady journey getting to this role. She was an area director, then a division director for 2 years, club growth director, and most recently, program quality director. So, given all that, Michelle, what have you learned about yourself on the way to becoming district director?
Well, Chris, the things that we learn along the way, I didn't have the confidence when I started as an area director that made me think I was going to be the district director, but I got to know people. I got to talk to them. I got to see what things they were missing, and I learned that listening is the biggest need in leadership. Many leaders just listen to respond. They don't take the time to actually hear what people are saying. But I like to hear people's stories. I like to hear who they are and what they're about. I'm the one who talks to the strangers on the subway, and my friends say, "Don't do that. You'll get us hurt." Well, I like to talk to people. I'm talking to people at the grocery store. I talk to people just walking down the street. And I think that just getting to know people, treating them like they're human, and just showing that you care matters. I mean, I go to events where I walk around hugging people and they don't even know who I am. I like to let people know that they matter, that they're valued, that I care about them, even though they have no idea who I am. I can still love them, and that's okay. I think that's what leadership has taught me, is that I'm pretty cool just being myself. It's neat to just let people know that you genuinely care about them and who they are. And I think it's important also as a leader to be authentic, and being my authentic self is showing that I care and that people matter to me.
I like that. That really got us to know you a little more about how you have learned through all the roles that got you here. So thank you for that. So here's a getting to know you question. What's your favorite board game?
Oh, goodness. I have so many board games that I like to play, but the one that has become a recent favorite, recent meaning over the last few years, is Labyrinth. If you've never seen this game before, if you've never played this game before, it's a different game every time you play it. It's strategy. So it's sort of a maze with moving parts, and each player makes the walls in the maze change. So you have to figure out what the next move is before it happens, without even knowing what the next path looks like. So you may have to really strategize, and I like strategies. So this is a fun game for me. I have to think outside of the maze in order to win the game, and that's fun.
That does sound interesting. I guess it's far from Twister, huh?
Absolutely.
Although Twister involves strategy too, it's just different types of strategy, I guess. So getting back to Toastmasters, so this question I thought of, especially about our newer Toastmasters who struggle with this. So Michelle, what do you do to come up with your speech content?
Speech content is easy. It really is. I think sometimes we overcomplicate this search for what do we talk about? Well, what did I have for dinner tonight? Just talking about how I made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that could be a speech. It's a step by step, and it could be a demonstration. I could bring peanut butter, I could bring jelly, I can bring bread. I can show you how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the Michelle Westgate way. That's one way, but also just tapping into what impacts me. Now, I'm very careful not to bring subjects to the audience that might upset them. I try to avoid things that get people excited, and I don't want my club members fighting with each other. So picking topics sometimes is a little precarious that way, but I think drawing on stories from my life has been quite helpful. So when I did the path of leadership development, I had a goal for myself. I wanted to tell stories, and there wasn't a storytelling path. So I made it a goal to tell stories from my personal life, the entire path. At the end of each path, or at the end of each speech, I did like an Aesop's fable sort of thing where the moral of the story is. So it was all about leadership. And this is what you get out of it when it comes to leadership. So I told stories from my life about different things that happened. And just talking about even my childhood and talking about my kids when they were growing up, and talking about maybe my job or somebody I met or something that I did. I mean, that's easy stuff. People are afraid to just share who they are. And I think that's part of the problem because they're so worried that they're going to be revealing something or sharing too much that people are not going to accept them. But you have to, if you want to give a speech that really touches people. If you want to give a speech that is going to make an impact, if you want to give a speech that is going to teach others, you really need to tap into your real stories. So if you have a story that you're not so sure how to share, you don't have to tell the whole story. You can tell parts of it. You can make it as clean or as nasty as you want to. And I don't know if that's the right word, but you can do what you want with that information and share as much of it or as little of it as you would like, because that is your story to tell. But always think about what's the purpose. So why am I telling this story? So if I'm talking about a birthday cake that fell on the floor before the party, and how we scraped it up onto the plate and threw some icing on it and then served it, I would be embarrassed telling people that story. Now, that didn't really happen to me, but it's just an example of things that we can talk about. I talk about how I tripped. I'd go on dates and fall on my face while I'm talking to somebody. It was hilarious, but sort of embarrassing. But you know what? That turned into something. So let's say my message was leadership. How would that story help me tell somebody about leadership? I've been experimenting with this article that I've been writing on leadership on LinkedIn. And sometimes those stories are about things like holding a chicken. Well, what does a holding a chicken have to do with leadership? And so I have to really think about it, and it's fun for me because I think outside of the box about, okay, well, what do I do with that? What does that mean? How can I get a leadership point out of that? So if the leadership point was, well, I dropped this cake, I had to scrape the icing back onto it again, make it look pretty. What does that tell you about leadership? Well, maybe it's a story about resiliency and how to overcome a problem. Problem solving and leadership go hand in hand. So right there, I have a story where I've taken something personal that happened. Maybe it was a little funny, maybe it was a little embarrassing, maybe it was heartbreaking, but I've taken it and I've turned it into this is what you, the audience, can get out of my story and my speech and why it matters. And I think that's where the impact comes in.
Very true. Some good points there. Okay, so here's a fun question. Michelle, as a kid, what did you want to do when you grew up?
I did mention my childhood, didn't I? Well, as a child, I didn't want to be a fireman or a teacher or the president. I wanted to be Evel Knievel. I wanted to be a daredevil. And I used to actually do crazy, daredevilish kind of things, jumping out of trees, jumping off of 2 and 3 story buildings without breaking bones, I might add, jumping off the roof into a pool, jumping over huge ditches. I grew up in Florida, and the ditches there, which are more water receptacles that move like a river. Well, I would jump over those things, build ramps, and take my bike and fly over to the other side. And it was fun. And even taking that into my young adult years, I used to go rock climbing without tethers. I don't tell my boss because they're all about safety where I work, but I used to go bungee jumping. I loved taking the ATCs out into the desert and jumping over hills and taking air and just flying and having fun and taking risks. And it was a lot. And I think that's where my fun was had, was in those daredeviling moments.
I never would have imagined that you did some of the things you just mentioned. So that was insightful. So, how are you feeling about going into this new Toastmasters year?
Did I say that I wanted to be a daredevil when I grew
You
up?
did.
Well, that's how I'm feeling going into this year. I do feel like there is this big emptiness in front of me that I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm standing on that edge. It's that cliff. Am I going to jump? Am I going to fly? What am I going to do at the edge of this cliff? And there it is in front of me. All kinds of opportunity, all kinds of possibilities, all kinds of mystery. And I think that's how I'm feeling about this coming year, is that anything can happen. And if we all work together, I think we can make great things happen. And that's what I'm hoping to see in the upcoming year, is that we do achieve more, that we stretch our limits, we spread our wings, and we just fly.
Well, that's great. I'm interested to see how that all comes together. And so thank you, Michelle Westgate. I've had fun talking to you here, finding out a little bit more about you. And I know at least you'll have a successful year, no matter what happens, because honestly, that's how you operate. I genuinely am excited to see what you have in store for this district over the next 12 months.
Well, I have a lot of things in store. I do have some initiatives coming up, and one of the things that I'd like to share right now is that I will be putting out videos on Fridays. We're calling it Fearlessly Forward Fridays, and it'll just be a short video. It'll be about catching up on things happening in the district, maybe some important news, but it'll also be something motivational, something about being fearless, moving forward, stretching our limits, being brave, being bold, embracing Toastmasters. There's a lot wrapped into that 2 to 5 minute video. They're not going to be long, but they definitely will be valuable. And I'm looking forward to that. I have quite a few initiatives really about collaboration and interacting with each other as leaders and just keeping our district together, building community, and just being a part of something bigger than just ourselves.
Great. I can't wait to be a part of that myself. And now we will start talking to our new program quality director, Ann Golden. She's a distinguished Toastmaster and she belongs to three clubs. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Well, thank you, Chris, for having me. This is a delight to be here with you tonight.
And it's a delight to have you here. Just like we did with Michelle Westgate, we have some questions for you to get to know you a little better. So let's jump right into it. You've been a Toastmaster for how many years?
I just celebrated my 10 years as a Toastmasters this June 15th.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank
And
you.
so, in that time, how would you say Toastmasters has changed you?
That's a powerful question, Chris. Toastmasters has really made me a better person. It's reshaped my thinking on how I communicate with others and how I connect with others, and definitely how I lead. I used to shy away from that feedback, thinking it was like more criticism, but now I welcome it because I find that I grow from that. And I've learned the other important thing is I've learned to lead with empathy. I didn't have a whole lot of tolerance for others, and Toastmasters has helped me to develop that empathy. So it has really developed me into a better person.
Okay. And so in the way of trying to get to know you a little better, and this doesn't necessarily have to be a Toastmasters answer, what's a skill you've always wanted to learn?
Yeah, that's kind of funny because, my whole career, I'm retired now, but my whole career, I wanted to be in management. And I wanted to learn the skills that it took to be able to collaborate with others and to be able to connect with them and to how to resolve conflicts, right, in a positive manner. That's something I've always wanted to learn how to do. And Toastmasters has helped me improve that. I'm still evolving, but that's one of the benefits of Toastmasters that has benefited me as a person.
I definitely agree. I am definitely a fan of lifelong learning. And to me, that's the beautiful thing about Toastmasters is it's a way to do that and learn more about ourselves and those skills that maybe we never got a chance to work on, in our jobs, in our careers, and in other places. So what would you say your biggest achievement in Toastmasters has been so far, Anne?
Oh, I'm excited to tell you about that, Chris. The thing that has been my biggest achievement is being a speechcraft coordinator trainer, in that I have helped others globally to learn how to conduct a speechcraft program within their clubs. And that has empowered them to be leaders themselves. And what I love about that is it gives me the opportunity to share the skills that I've learned with others, so much so that they come to me as their source. And it's not about me, but it's about what I can offer them. And that's been my greatest achievement, to be able to help others to grow.
Yeah, that's I love that. That's and to me, like when someone is able to do that, it does a lot for them and it's a lot for other people. So it's like a dual sort of a thing there that's happening. So you had talked about when we talked about the skill you wanted to learn, you talked a little bit about your career. What did you do for a living?
Well, I was an office manager, I was an administrative assistant, and a process administrator. And what's really unique about all those roles, or really similar, is that they're all about learning processes and improving processes and developing standard operating procedures. It's detail oriented, which is me. And so I always looked for ways to improve what we were doing in the office environment, no matter what position I had. And I learned to develop better processes as a result of that. And I added value, and to me, that was important.
That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that, like I already mentioned, that you're a distinguished Toastmaster. I know when you got your first distinguished Toastmaster, it was something that obviously you were extremely proud of it, and something that you should be proud of. So when you were getting your DTM, when you were going for your DTM, how did you approach getting it?
Well, you know what? Initially, when I joined Toastmasters, I wasn't really, the DTM wasn't on my radar. It wasn't until I was in Toastmasters about 4 years, around 2019, when my mentor, Thane Shetter, he approached me, and he'd been watching me, and he'd seen that I had fulfilled some leadership requirements for the DTM, and he said to me, "Ann, you can achieve your DTM by June 2020." He says, "What you have to do is join multiple clubs. You have 32 speeches to complete." I said, "Dang, that's a lot of speeches." He says, "But you can do it by joining multiple clubs." So he led the way for me, and I joined multiple clubs. And in the process, I did 32 speeches, a high performance leadership project, which was the DTM project at the time. And I was able to get my first DTM. So through that process, what happened to me was I began to understand the deeper meaning of leadership. And not just holding those roles, Chris, but I actually became a servant leader and loved being that servant leader to support and inspire others. And since then, I've learned how to map my path to additional DTMs. But Thane Shetter was my initial mentor that steered me on that path. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have done it. So I owe it all to him.
That's awesome. And I happen to know Thane, and Thane is an awesome guy. And when you said about he said it was, you both knew it was a certain amount of speeches. That does sound daunting, but it sounds like that didn't hold you back. In fact, would you say it kind of motivated you, like, you know what, I'm
Oh,
going to get this done?
definitely, definitely. And he opened the doors for me because he introduced me to different clubs to join. And I was able to, and the benefit of that is you get different feedback and you grow faster because you're not receiving the same feedback all the time. And as a result of that, I think I grew personally even faster because you hear from the different voices about your speeches and how you can improve upon them and what you need to do and where you need to improve in your leadership skills as well. So I grew
Absolutely.
faster because of that.
Yeah, and I've always said different clubs have different cultures, and like you said, because of those cultures, a lot of times you get different types of feedback, and so it's almost better to go to unfamiliar clubs if you want feedback that you might not be getting from a certain group of people or a certain type of speech. And that's the beauty of having all these clubs at our disposal. Most clubs, when you're a Toastmaster, they'll welcome you in as a guest, and you can give a speech. You can get on their agenda. So
And
that's great.
that's not the easiest thing to do. That was really stepping out of my comfort zone because I was going to meet people I didn't know at all and complete strangers. And for me, that was very scary. From a person that was being pretty much an introvert to do that was challenging and it wasn't easy, but I pushed myself to do it.
It seems like getting outside your comfort zone paid off. And now
Yes.
every time you look at your name, you see a DTM after it, you know it was worth it. And going back to the personal side of Ann Golden, do you cook?
Yes, I do cook.
So would you say you have a signature dish or a favorite meal you like to cook, Ann?
Well, I used to have a signature dish years ago, but now that I'm retired, I try not to cook as much. But my signature dish, which I love to cook in the day, was this delicious recipe I received from my older sister. And it's chicken baked in the oven with chicken mushroom soup, cream of chicken, cream of mushroom, cream of chicken soup. And then you put strips of bacon over top of it with the chicken breast, and you bake it in the oven for about 40 minutes. And then you have sour cream mashed potatoes with that. And then this delicious broccoli casserole. That was my favorite all-time meal to cook. Now, today, it's much more simpler. I like to cook filet mignons on the grill with Restellis. Have you ever heard of Restellis? They're on QVC a lot.
Yes.
Rastell. Well, they
Yep.
have this awesome seasoning that you put on your steaks. They're just to die for. So that's what I love to cook now. And it's easy. And it's easy cleanup. I don't have to spend hours in the kitchen. And it's a delicious meal with mashed potatoes and broccoli.
Nice. So for those of you that might have been hungry listening to this podcast, now you have to make sure you go out and get dinner after you hear this interview with Anne. And oh, but you know what? Listen to Michelle Brown's interview and then you can go get dinner. And so do you have any hobbies outside of Toastmasters, Anne?
Well, hobbies per se. I'm not some, never was a hobby person, but I enjoy sports immensely. I
Okay.
enjoy baseball and football. Baseball's my favorite because from the days when I used to listen to them on the radio, the Phillies on the radio with my dad in the 60s when they weren't on TV. And in the springtime, I guess my hobby would be what I like to enjoy is to clean up the garden bed for the summer so that my flowers and my shrubs can look beautiful. So clean that all out. So in the springtime, I spend a good amount of time out there on that. But in the summer, I enjoy my baseball, and in the winter, I enjoy my football games with the Eagles.
Nice.
That's what I like to do.
Nice. Yeah, I'll say your hometown girl. We gotta
Yes.
support those Philadelphia Eagles that, you know, District 38 is basically centered around. And what do you see as your most important role in this Toastmasters year as program quality director? What would you see as your most important role?
Well, the most important role is building meaningful connections with our members and making sure they know that they are seen, heard, and valued. Too often they're forgotten and they don't realize that leadership does care about them, and they always have. So for me, it's about building a supportive community. And I feel that when members feel appreciated and supportive, that they're more likely to stay engaged and to grow. I want to be visible this year, and I want to be an approachable leader. And I want them to know that I'm there to listen to them. I welcome any feedback. And I'm big when celebrating achievements. Everybody knows that, right? I'm the certificate girl in the district. And I want to work collaboratively with my fellow trio members and fellow leaders in the district because I want to create that high quality training. I want officers to come because I'm trying to get 100% officers trained this year. That's a high goal, but I think it's achievable if we can reach the officers and make them understand they're valued and they're just as important.
Absolutely. I love how you basically described it. To me, it was like breaking down those walls between where the leaders are and our members, because we're basically all on the same, we should all be on the same page. So why not help each other out? And like you said, celebrate their accomplishments. You know, where I think my opinion is when you get recognized for what you do, it pushes you even further. So I loved hearing that's one of your big things. I can't wait to see what you do this year. And so thank you, Anne. It's been a delight getting to know you a little better, and I wish you the best of luck with your responsibilities as program quality director. I know that you're going to knock it out of the park.
Oh, Chris, I want to thank you for having me. I think your podcasts are excellent. They've brought a new level of communication to our district, which I think is very important. And I'm just honored to be here today with you. And I'm so happy to hear that you're going to continue the podcast this year because I think it's so important for our members to hear the voices of the members of our district.
I'm excited about it too. And now we will move over and speak to our club growth director for this year. I'd like to introduce Michelle Brown, who comes from our Philly Forum Club in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, which is composed of employees of the Philadelphia Insurance Companies. Welcome, Michelle Brown.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks for being here. Now, before we get started asking you some questions, I've heard you tell a cute little story about your last name.
Thank you for bringing that up. It has been super helpful because we have two Michelles in our trio, and I am Michelle Brown. I was a Brown, and I married a Brown. I have been Michelle Brown all my life and will continue to do so. That is my story.
It's a cute little story. I don't know how many people can actually say that that happened to them, but maybe all of the people that have kept their last name their whole life, like they married a person with that, they can form their own Toastmasters club. We can start a new one and add one into your win column for this year,
That is an awesome idea.
right? So Michelle Brown, how did you originally get into Toastmasters?
That happened in 2008 at my organization, Philadelphia Insurance Companies. We had a, and we still have today, a suggestion box where employees could submit suggestions of all kinds. And someone, I still don't know who it was, entered a mysterious, we should have a Toastmaster club. And that was the start of our charter. I was the charter secretary, and Pam Peaseman was the charter president. We chartered Philly Forum in February, on February 1st, 2009. That was the beginning. It is the only club I've ever been a part of. And from the many years that we stood the club up, I didn't start speaking and getting into the earning my speaker credits in the old education system for a long time because we were running the club, making sure everything was working well. But once I started doing that, I really enjoyed it. I truly joined for the, I want to say I was voluntold because it was a work project, but then I remained a leader in the club, held every role, and eventually was interested in moving outside the club. I do remember my very first contest, and that opened my eyes, and it was the most exciting thing I'd ever seen. On the way there, I was told, you're just going to attend. You don't have to do anything. I ended up being a ballot counter. And from there, knowing that going out and doing something new and seeing the world of Toastmasters, that was the beginning of expanding my reach. And getting to be area director for 2 years and division G director for 2 years, just to all that can be. And now being in the trio with these fabulous women and our outstanding District 38, I can only see more wonderful things to take place. And I'm looking forward to all that will be.
Very cool. I'm enamored to see what y'all do this year. I think it's going to be an awesome year. So, Michelle, what would you say your leadership style is?
I personally like to say collaborative. I'm very much a team. Everyone gets their moment and working together. When I went back to look at my leadership project, I had high scores in most, I would say, affiliative, altruistic, authoritative, I knew there were three A's, coaching, democratic, all of those were the same score, which is great because you should be able to shift. Innovative and pace setting were 1 point less. I have been focusing on pace setting, incorporating moving faster. I learned that in my leadership project. But the opposite to your question, I am least bureaucratic. I am very much a team lead, let's do this together person. I'm learning. I have in the past 4 years in District 38 leadership, I have really learned a great deal of how to approach and shift your leadership style. Hopefully that answers your question with a, I don't have one solid leadership style. I am able to transition from one to the other depending on the need.
Okay, good to know. Okay, so here's a fun question. What's your favorite go-to snack?
Cheese curls are my go-to snack. I used to eat them with my mom growing up, although they are a messy snack. I do enjoy them.
Yeah, I think that's one of those snacks that leaves a lot of finger dust. So, yeah, it's probably again, I'm not embarrassed by this, but when I eat snacks like that, I definitely lick them off my fingers. I mean, I tend not to do that in front of other people, but if I'm by myself, yeah, I think cheese curls kind of lend themselves to that. But yeah, it's turning into confessional. But so what would you say? Look, if you had the opportunity to get a message across to a large group of people, Michelle, what would your message be, you think?
This is, I want to say several things, but they all boil into find your joy. I'm a firm believer in joy, and I know for myself, it took some time to find my joy. And part of that is, I would say the almost like the sub bullets to find your joy, joining Toastmasters, that brought me joy personally, but I would certainly want to share that message. I also pray every day. I am a faith-filled person. I would like to get that message out. And then trying something new, because you never know the joy that you don't know about yet unless you get out there and do something different.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Do you have a favorite holiday, Michelle?
Halloween, my son was born in October, and we had a lot of Halloween-ish birthday parties and themed. And so when I think about holidays and through the years, we have great memories, great parties, and I do like to dress up and have themed outfits.
Any recent costumes that you can think of that you want to talk about?
Not recent, but speaking of my son, one of his birthday parties, myself and two besties were the three blind mice.
Ah!
We basically just wore all gray sweatpants, sunglasses, and a mask and
That
ears.
is
It was,
hilarious.
yes, it was
Well,
fun.
I was going to say that sounds like a quick go-to. If anybody is struggling for a Halloween costume, do Michelle Brown's one of the three blind mice. Great. Is there anything, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in Toastmasters, but is there anything new that you've recently learned about yourself?
This is a loaded question for me because I believe, truly believe in continuous improvement. So I'm always looking to learn something new.
Okay.
And not that I was surprised by it, but we recently did the Strength Finders as a trio, and learner was my number one. Learning what the others are has been interesting to me. And I, like I said, I wasn't surprised by it, but that was really an interesting a collection of who I am, and I could attach to everything made sense of who I am and what means the most to me. And being a learner, that really is, I wouldn't have thought of would come out as number one, but so I'm always seeking something new. So to learn that is really my number one was somewhat fascinating to me.
Okay. Do you collect anything?
Not currently, but from my younger years, I have a collection of koala everything from
Wow.
figurines, planters, t-shirts, you name it. That was a big thing for me for years. And every now and then, the kids will get me something koala-like.
Have you ever been able to hold or have you ever seen a koala in person?
The closest was last summer. We went to Florida, the zoo in Florida. I can't think of the name of it, in Clearwater, I believe. And they had a koala, so I could see him through the glass. They do have an additional, you pay and you can get in and touch them, hold them. But they weren't doing it that day. All the tickets were sold out. So we have
Oh.
plans to do that this year.
Oh my God. I can't wait to see the pictures of that.
Yes.
That'll
But I
be.
did get some cool pictures because there were actually two koalas. The one was very much awake and moving, and they sleep a lot. So we got really lucky to see those pictures or to see that. And I got some great pictures.
Awesome. Cool. And Michelle, do you have any personal mottos?
Yes, and for those that know me, they could probably recite these with me. The continuous improvement is part of that, but use your tools is really what I'm well known for at work, and that has bled into Toastmasters as well. And that is the technology side of me. I do love technology. I love to learn and use technology to my advantage. And I do have a little side note from the conference this year. Arvind presented on project planning or project helping with project management. I forget what the full title was, but he said, choose your tools. So I have to transition my use your tools motto into choose your tools because there's so many now. That is something that I've been working on. And he knows. I told him that he has changed my motto for life. So
Wow.
continuous improvement. There it is.
Well, very good. Well, thank you, Michelle Brown, who I can't wait to see what great things will happen with you being our district club growth director this year.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, it was definitely a pleasure. And also, thank you to my other two guests, Ann Golden, our program quality director, and Michelle Westgate, our district director. This is Chris Hulse, and as I mentioned, we will be continuing our district podcast, The Megaphone, this Toastmasters year. We are calling this season two, and you just listened to episode one. And I'm hoping to produce an episode every month, and I'd actually like your help to do that. If you have a story to share, or you know someone who does, and you or them would like to be one of the future voices on the podcast, please send an email to podcast@tmdistrict38.org. That's podcast, podcast, at tmdistrict38.org. And until next time, remember to project that voice you have fearlessly forward. Make sure you grab the megaphone.